In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's, the law firm Condori and Murat. They can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. We'll cover the Nationals, the NFL, and the Commanders. Let's do this thing. And to discuss the Nats, our buddy Pete Medhurst, who was in the booth with Charlie Slows yesterday, filling in for Dave Jagler on the call of Nats baseball here on 106.7 The Fan. Pete, unfortunately, the Nats could not pull off a sweep. Another really rough first inning and rough fourth inning for Mackenzie Gore, who lasted just four frames, and the Nats were playing catch-up after that.
Grant, the first inning for him, and Charlie and I talked about this in our pitching segment before the game, the first inning is the Bermuda Triangle right now for Mackenzie Gore. Now, did he get out of the first frame yesterday giving up no runs? Yes, he did. How many pitches did he throw? 28. Not optimal. Kind of set the tone for the outing. And look, this is a guy you know from following him as well. This is a guy that has high-end rotation, big league stuff. And I'm sure right now it befuddles Jim Hickey, Sean Doolittle, Davey Martinez as they all try to figure it out, as well as it does McKenzie, because McKenzie is a competitor. You know he takes it seriously, but the biggest thing, too, Grant, is he takes it hard. And I think right now with Mackenzie Gore, it's as much mental as it is physical, I think, right now with the young southpaw.
So, Pete, I want to double-click here a little bit on this. Through May, basically, he was an all-star caliber pitcher, looked like the guy at the top of the rotation, was a stud, ERA in the upper twos. Month of June, ERA north of five. Month of July, ERA north of seven, almost 7.7. And then this month kind of bailed out here by the fact that he didn't give up any earned runs yesterday. But still, the ERA, the, kind of all these numbers just don't look right. Doesn't look like him. Do we think it's something mechanical? Do we think maybe there's a pitch tipping situation going on? What's happening to Mackenzie Gore? Because as you said correctly, his stuff is just too good.
Danny, if a guy's getting hit hard, then I certainly believe it is a pitch tipping thing. But the case right now with him is not necessarily getting hit hard. It's the walks. You know, six walks yesterday. The walk total, you know, that's about attacking the strike zone. Davey Martinez consistently talks about that in every press conference. When a pitcher has a bad outing, more than likely, it's because they did not try to attack the strike zone. Look at the young fellow that pitched yesterday for the Angels, Kwanowicz. I mean, that's a guy that got hit hard as heck in his first two outings. He lasted three innings in one, four in another. But you go look at his minor league numbers at Rocket City, he had two complete games, an eight-inning game and 2 7-inning games. And yesterday, through five innings, he only had 60 pitches because he's attacking the strike zone and putting the onus on the hitters to just go hit the baseball. The Nationals really didn't make him pay for any of that early in the game. Gore, on the other hand, was not throwing strikes. You're not making the hitters do anything when you can't locate the baseball. And it didn't matter, seemingly, what he called, what Wiley Adams called for him yesterday. He just couldn't locate. And I think that's what's most befuddling about a guy that you just detailed quite accurately. Early in the season, he looked exactly like the guy the Nationals thought they were getting in this trade. So we know it's there. That's why I think right now, if there's nothing wrong with him, and it's up to the pitcher to say whether there is something wrong with him, then right now it's more mental and mechanical as to whether he can locate his pitches, because I'm sure it's one of the great mysteries right now over there on South Capitol Street.
Pete, you were on the call yesterday and saw a rare James Wood 0-for. 0-for-3 did draw a walk, so kept his on-base streak intact. Three hits in the series, including an opposite field home run. Very productive again this weekend throughout the homestand. OPS is up to almost 800 right now. What'd you make of his series against the Angels?
I mean, Grant, his outs are even 109 and 110 miles an hour. The one thing, I guess, if you're trying to super nitpick, there have been opportunities where I think he has thought there was going to be a different pitch, and a guy threw basically a fastball right down the middle and has gotten him caught looking, surprised in a couple of those situations. But if I were him too, I'd also be expecting a big sweeping pitch going out of the strike zone and rarely being challenged right down the middle. I just love the young man's approach right now. There's a calm demeanor about him. Nothing seems to faze him up there at the plate. And again, as we've talked about on numerous occasions since he's come up, you know, this is a young man that's just scratching the surface at this level. As he gets more experience at this level, sees more of these pitchers, because guys that have gotten him the first time, Grant, have rarely gotten him the second time. It's been quite a pattern to watch for him when they play a team one week and they come back and play him the next. And James has seemingly made the adjustment against that tough pitcher, even when it's been one of those tough lefties, particularly guys in the late innings out of the bullpen.
Pete, great as always, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you, bud.
Be good. By the way, if you want to hear more on James Wood or the Nationals, brand-new Bustin' Loose Baseball dropped today, so grab that podcast wherever you get your audio. Myself and Toby Altizer. Speaking of Nats coverage, all of our baseball coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's talk NFL football. Mike Jones joins us now. Mike, yeah, I caught up with you on the phone the other night. You were in Pittsburgh getting ready to see the Steelers. What'd you find out about the Justin Fields, Russell Wilson quarterback dilemma?
Well, I don't think it's much of a dilemma right now, at least not in the minds of Mike Tomlin. He is very adamant that Russell Wilson is his guy. He continues to say he's got pole position on this job, and it's going to take a whole lot for Justin Fields to overtake him for this. They just feel like even though Russell Wilson didn't play in that game on Friday and just started practicing last week because of the calf strain, they feel like he's the guy that gives them the best opportunity to win now. They feel like Arthur Smith's offensive system and his creativity is going to put Russell Wilson in position to kind of be as effective or similarly effective to what he was in Seattle with a strong run game, play action, shots down the field. That's what he does well, not the timing West Coast offense type of stuff that he was asked to do in Denver with Sean Payton. But they really like Justin Fields. They like what they've seen from him. He got the start. He was 5-for-6, I think, for like 67 yards. He had a couple drives that were killed by a bad snap connection between him and the center. They changed centers, and then they started moving the ball. They feel like they have a guy that can help them win now, and a young guy who's promising just needs a little more seasoning. And so I would not be surprised if at some point we see Justin Fields take over that job. But for right now, they don't feel pressure to rush him into that job.
Mike, you ever had an employer publicly say it's not a big deal if we employ Mike Jones like Jerry Jones did to CeeDee Lamb?
No, I have not.
Good for you.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice. I don't know if I would have stayed, you know. But it's amazing to me just the way that Jerry Jones has handled this thing, not just with him, but also with Dak. The longer they wait, the more the price goes up. I mean, they could have gotten these taken care of last year. And how many quarterbacks got deals? How many wide receivers got deals? And so the asking price keeps going up. And I guess, you know, Jerry's trying to play poker there and, you know, and just not give in. But this is not going well. And when you have a head coach who's in a lame duck season and the pressure is on to win and you've got all this animosity building up because you're not paying your quarterback, you don't haven't given him his best weapon back on the field yet, I don't know. This might be a disaster of a season for the Cowboys.
Mike Jones is with us here on G&D of The Athletic. He's been making the rounds, training camps, preseason. Seen a lot of the teams over the last few weeks. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels out of the equation locally because we're going to dive in on the Commanders in just a minute. But the rest of the rookie quarterbacks, some guys really showed well this weekend. You know, among them, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy looked awesome for the Vikings. Bo Nix had a really good first game for Denver. Michael Penix got the start and did some good things for the Falcons. I know we're taking it with a grain of salt. It's the preseason. It's vanilla coverages. But who stood out to you the most of those guys? What do you take out of those outings?
Well, I mean, look, Caleb Williams looked, I think, like Caleb Williams needed to look. You know, there's so much pressure, but he, you know, carries himself as if he's the guy. They put a lot around him. And so for him to go out there, he looked sharp. I think it was 187 yards, like you said, or something like that. He balled out like the number one pick. The other guys did well as well. Seeing some good things for them. That's what you want if you're a franchise. But again, I try not to get overly excited about what I see in the preseason because they're not game planning. They don't have game film on them. Once we get to the regular season, that first 4 weeks, we'll see what happens. We'll see as these defense coordinators figure out the weaknesses and strengths and start attacking them. But just from a standpoint of understanding what to do in their offense, where to go with the ball, connection, accuracy, I thought there was a lot of good things that some of these young quarterbacks showed.
Do Hassan Reddick and or Brandon Ayuk get traded?
I don't think so. You know, the Jets came out saying that they're not trading Hassan Reddick, and they're dug in on this. And so I don't know how this game is going to end, but they are not giving him away. They already have traded to get him, and so they, you know, don't want to get rid of him for nothing. They have no leverage right now, so they're best to hold on to him. Brandon Ayuk, I still think that they might work something out. There were some talks with other teams. The Steelers seemed like they were kind of close, but they weren't able to give the 49ers the compensation they want. And so I think maybe after hearing, okay, what were the offers? What were teams giving you? All right, look, maybe we weren't as far off. Maybe we can find a way to get this thing worked out. They want him. They know that they have a window to win a Super Bowl, and he gives them a better chance having him than not having him. And so I think that it might drag on a little longer, but they might get something done.
Mike, thank you, buddy.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Be good. Let's talk about the Commanders and continue our coverage of camp, which is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan Show from 10 to 1 every day over on the Team 980. Kevin, what'd you think of Jaden Daniels?
What's up, boys? I thought, you know, he did pretty well. I mean, it's a preseason game. They were playing twos and threes and, you know, I just it's hard to really know anything, but I love the poise. I love the smooth operation. The throw to De'Ami Brown was great. You know, I don't know what you guys have said about it, but I thought it was interesting just to see offensively some of the no huddle, some of the, you know, not necessarily with the intention of up-tempo, but we saw some up-tempo. We saw a ton of...
They were actually the fastest team in the NFL.
Yeah, sorry.
They were the fastest team between plays in the preseason, week one.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me because it was obvious that they weren't huddling, which I thought was interesting for a preseason game. That's the kind of thing that you would expect, you know, he wants to do. Why would he just do it in a preseason game? We saw a ton of zone read. And, you know, I think everybody understands that he's going to try to leverage some of that with Jaden's abilities. We saw it with all the quarterbacks. We saw a triple option play where Driscoll pitched it to a running back. So, you know, there are a couple of things that I thought were interesting and perhaps at least slightly revealing. But, you know, we get fooled by these stupid games every summer.
Well, speaking of slightly revealing, Kevin, what does it mean that Jahan Dotson was in the game a lot longer than a lot of other guys that we expect to be starters? Same with Jamin Davis and same with Fedarian Mathis to a degree.
I think the Jahan Dotson thing is really interesting. And I had Ben on the show today, and he mentioned that to me, and I didn't know that he had been in there for basically more snaps than anybody on offense at the skill position players. And then I guess Quinn this afternoon said, you know, there's a lot of competition at that spot. I don't know what it means. Does it mean that he's actually battling for a roster spot? I can't imagine that that's true, but it could be. I mean, you know, with De'Ami Brown out there and, you know, reportedly having a really good camp, he's not a guy you play on the inside. So maybe Dotson's competing with Zacchaeus and others to be a slot guy. I don't know. I mean, I think that's an interesting, you know, an interesting result of Saturday is that he was in there for 32 snaps.
Yeah, Lamide Zacchaeus, who has had a great camp, is going to make the squad for sure. There's worse things to be than a slot receiver in a Cliff Kingsbury offense, though, because
no doubt
he likes feeding slot receivers based on his time, clearly, in Arizona. What did you make of some of the looks that you talked about? Because one of my big takeaways was everyone's saying, oh, it was a great game for Jaden. It was a great throw to De'Ami Brown. It was awesome. The fact that he even checked to it was phenomenal. But it was three throws. You know, that was one of them. The other was a wide receiver screen. The other was just amped up, sailed over a running back. But the thing that I cared about was, number one, checking to the play, then dropping a dime down the field. We know he can do that. But it looked to me like he's going to run a lot this year. Some of the looks, read option, you know, gun with the guy beside you. We saw Driscoll keep the ball, get around the edge. I think the design running game is going to be amplified, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, and design is different than option, right? So I think certainly there will be a lot of option. You know, a lot of read option in the game, as there are really now with most teams in the league that have mobile quarterbacks, even some that don't have mobile quarterbacks. These coaches love 11 on 11 in the run game, and you get that with your quarterback being a potential runner. You know, the designed runs, quarterback draws. I don't think we're going to see him running power sweep like Cam Newton, you know, used to run, or
Josh
even some
Allen.
Of the stuff that Lamar runs, you know, or counters. But I think what we're definitely going to see, and we saw it on that first drive, is just the emphasis on running the football altogether. As much as he wants to leverage some of Jaden's unique skills and talent, I think Kingsbury is going to be responsible, I hope, and say he's still a rookie. We need to run the football. You know, we can do it with a quarterback in the run game for sure. But Brian Robinson getting five carries on the opening drive, I think, is maybe a bit telling. I think you go back to that 2021 season, James Conner and Chase Edmonds combined for basically 1,350 yards and well over 300 carries. You know, and Conner is built very much like Brian Robinson Jr. So I don't think we're going to see, you know, an aired out air raid attack. You can't even really do the legitimate air raid that college, you know, the Hal Mummy and Mike Leach stuff in the NFL anyway, because of the hashes. But I think we're going to see a real emphasis on trying to run the football and take the pressure off him. And I'm for that.
Kevin, thank you as always, bud. Have a great week.
All right, boys.
Be good. There's Kevin Sheehan. That is your Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. Jaden Daniels gets to the line, sees something he doesn't like, calls his own number on a deep shot. Dan Quinn's reaction post-game was outstanding. You'll hear it next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
At 5 o'clock, we've spent so much time talking about Jaden Daniels today. Let's go through some other observations of some Commanders who stood out. Ben Sinnott, coming out party for the rookie tight end. I loved what I saw from big number 82. You know who he looked like rumbling down the field was Jason Witten. That big, tall, kind of lengthy, unorthodox frame. It wasn't like a compact Chris Cooley. It was more of the... just how do you get this guy to the ground because he's so big and encumbersome?
Yeah, like it wasn't a move that he put on somebody.
No, there aren't many moves.
But the guy didn't square him up. You see what I'm saying? There's something happened. Yeah. Whether it was a shimmy, whether it was a lean, whether it was a change of direction, whatever it is, guys kind of cascaded off the side of him.
It was early career physical tackle breaking.
Some thumping right there.
Jason Witten. But I saw that from him. I was so excited to see Sinnott make plays because I think he's been pretty quiet in practice. He actually made the point, and this is really interesting, after the game, that he was looking forward to the game because basically the thing that he does is, after the catch, like, extracurricular, you're not getting me to the ground unless you bring help kind of guy. So you can't really show that in practice. So he was looking for a game, and I thought that was kind of what happened, is you saw him make a few plays after the reception. But there were a bevy of players worth calling attention to beyond Jaden Daniels. But wanted to get into the Daniels decision at the line of scrimmage. So this isn't 500-level quarterbacking, but for a rookie to have this type of confidence in himself and moxie and just be comfortable enough in his own skin to have to deal with the ramifications later, to get up to the line of scrimmage, see that there's no safety, acknowledge that everybody's playing press on third down with a screen called. It's a play that's dead in the water. Let's get out of it. Let's go four verts. And that's what he did. And he threw a perfect pass. And when you connect after you do something like that, you saw him look over and smile and point at the sideline, you better make the play. Like, if you're going to change my play to do something you don't have permission to do, then you better do it right. And Dan Quinn's comment after the game was just great.
It's an interesting question, checking into it. I thought of Top Gun. Do I have permission to buzz the tower? No Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. And so I think on that one, he wanted to ask for forgiveness and not permission, and then throw, you know, an absolute dime, you know, over the top to Diami to go. So it was a really cool play. I think it probably illustrates for him the awareness and checks and things that go into it. So, yeah, he did not ask for permission, so he went ahead and buzzed the tower anyway. So it was a really cool play.
Yeah.
What a great line from Dan Quinn.
Uh-huh.
That is Top Gun guy over here. That's great. Such a perfect description of what happened, too.
When I saw that, the play, obviously. Then I didn't realize watching it in real time. He didn't wasn't allowed to do that or whatever you want to call it, right?
Right. I mean,
whether he was or wasn't.
Well, people took out of the comment when he said he didn't have permission, as if he was saying it as a negative, like he wasn't supposed to do that. He was saying, no, he didn't ask for permission. He's on the field. What's he going to do? Hey, Dan, do I have permission to do this?
Like, no, check out of it. Check out of this play.
That's not a two-way microphone.
Right.
His point is, we didn't tell him before the play, if you get this, can it? We didn't tell him before the game, feel free to just go do whatever you want at the line of scrimmage. We're not really there yet. But as Jaden Daniels said after the game, Cliff Kingsbury's told him throughout camp, you get to the line, we're running this play, in this case a wide receiver screen, you get this look, here's what we do. And he did it. And maybe you shouldn't do it in August, maybe you don't show that in the preseason, whatever, but you did it. And he made the play, and I just choose the final sentence or two from Dan Quinn to be the important ones, which was, it was a really cool play, and it just speaks to a little bit of mental capacity.
Well, there are a number of things to it. Number one, that mental capacity. I think that's the biggest takeaway. I think 1A for me is the athletic arrogance. And that's not a negative, by the way. You absolutely 100% have to have that at all times. Whatever room you're in, you're the baddest mother in that room. You are the best bleepity bleep that ever walked. And everybody, you don't have to yell at everyone and remind them every second of every day and come off like a jerk, but you need to believe that. Not like think it and give yourself a positive affirmation before a play. You need to believe that you're going to make that throw. You need to believe that the previous 10 shots that you took that were all bricks were flukes and the next one is going in. The next pitch you throw is going to be the best pitch you've ever thrown in your life. The next time you drop back after you airmail a screen pass, of course you're going to check to four verts on a 3rd and 6 in your first ever NFL game. Of course you are. If you're not the kind of guy that's going to do that, I don't know what your ceiling is. That's a high ceiling type moment right there, because it could fail spectacularly. And he's got the wherewithal. He's the kind of kid, it seems, obviously I've never met him, but it seems by all the reports and the glowing things the coaches say about him, people that work with him say, is he's not going to be stunted by the setback. The setback is just the thing that happened before the good thing. And that's what that demonstrates to me. Because what's the sequence? Again, he airmails a screen pass. It's 3rd and 6, your first time on an NFL football field. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my offensive coordinator that was basically handpicked for me in my development, tell him to shove this play because I've got something better, and watch what I do with it. My one of my college coaches, the pitching coach, he called pitches for everybody. Right? He relayed the signals. And what he told our pitchers was, you're more than welcome to shake it off. Better be nasty. If you think you got something better than what I called based on my reading and my years of study and experience, fine.
Be right.
That changeup better be dark. You want to go back to that slider after you've seen two? That third one better be the best one you ever threw. It's your right. You have the ball in your hand, not the coach. But I love that.
Well, he also went to a play that I think is as comfortable a play for him as there is, which is to say that just running the all go, you know, four verticals. If somebody wins, you lay it out in front of him and you try to drop it in the bucket like he did. Not to take away from the catch or the throw, because they were both spectacular. And the throw was awesome. To be his second throw, you got exactly what you came for. You could put him in bubble wrap and try again next week. Like, everyone turned on the TV for a moment. They got their moment. They got their flash. That was cool. But if you go back to him coming out of LSU, I think it's very obvious that one of his strengths is throwing the ball down the field with some touch. And it's really obvious that he loves throwing outside the hash marks and even, you know, the numbers, right? He likes throwing toward the sideline. He did that constantly. How many times to Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, did they run past people and he laid that out there? There was a side-by-side I saw somewhere on the internet this weekend where basically it showed Jaden Daniels' first throw ever in college at Arizona State and his first throw with the Commanders. And they were both go balls to a wide receiver split out on the boundary who won. They were both 42-yard. The one in college was a little bit of a catch and run. But they were both kind of deep shots down the right sideline that he threw very well. Point being, he's been doing this for a long time. And so it's not like he checked into something where it's a small window or you got to really make a throw or you got to read this or that. There's not a whole lot to read there. Get ball, two-step, three-step drop, put it out in front, and he did that, and it was really comfortable to him. He's going to have that club in the bag. you know, hopefully they have that at their disposal. Now, how often are they going to get a look where there's no safeties? It's a zero look. Probably not frequently. How often do you not have some help? Like, if I was defending Jaden Daniels in week one, if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm playing a lot of cover two with my guys pushing outward toward the sidelines, and I'm demanding of him to beat me in the middle of the field until I see what that looks like. But that was part of the strength of his game that he went to. And man, was it pretty. Like, you just can't draw up a better welcome to the Commanders moment for him than 40 yards in the air. But the quote afterwards on Top Gun
is so good.
Was tremendous.
Yeah. I was grinning.
It was like, I probably shouldn't check out of this in the preseason. Because if he doesn't, he knows this is my last rep. It's a screen. We're getting stopped short of the sticks. We're punting and my day's over. So let's just try to get this first down. Let's just do it my way. And if the coaches have any problem, we'll have a quick conversation about it. It's the forgiveness over permission thing. Uh-huh. That I kind of like a little bit.
And it's, yeah, again, there's a right balance, right? This isn't staying out until 5 in the morning when curfew's midnight.
No.
Right? It's different than that. It's a, I'm going to trust my football ability in this moment. My study, my prep. It's not a, you remember, I'm blanking on the name of the movie. Al Pacino, We Fight for That Inch, Any Given Sunday. So it's not like when the offensive coordinator's calling plays and the guy's like changing them in the huddle or whatever.
It's
like,
the 6 inches in front of your face.
Yeah, like that's not happening because that's not a thing. No one's saying that. But there's a degree of, hey, this is what you guys told me, this big picture. You told me that. Well, here it is. I'm here to execute the thing, right? You know what I mean? It's not like I'm just saying, screw it. You go deep and I'll do whatever I want. It's not that. It's not like thumbing your nose at somebody. It's that right balance, again, I keep coming back to it, that confidence in your ability that reigns supreme.
On this team, we fight for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Let's go to Luke in DC. What's up, Luke? How are you?
Hey, you guys are using all these movie references. I'll give you one. Think of Lou Brown talking to Willie Mays Hayes when he comes off after making that catch. Nice catch. Don't ever do it again. I think that
don't ever bleep and do it again.
Nice catch, Hayes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we talk about 2012 and not wanting to show our brand new toy to everybody and how they hit everything. Maybe that was some of that comment where he comes off the field. It's like, okay, yeah, you should have done it. Perfect. Just not the right time. But, again, we all loved it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and I don't think Dan Quinn even probably had that conversation. Like, I would be surprised if there was any type of verbal reprimand, if there was a, hey, let's not check out of stuff. Why would you? He checked into a better play that worked. What's the problem? I don't think it is viewed as a coach as he disobeyed my order.
Right, that's the distinction I was trying to draw.
Right, I mean, if this was week one, you'd have been thrilled by that. Again, he said after the game, Kingsbury has routinely coached him up, if you get this coverage against this look, get out of the play, and that's what he did. So because it's the preseason, we don't want him to, I'll bet you they were thrilled with that. And I think it was just kind of a funny line. I didn't take Quinn's answer to be in any way that they were upset or bothered. I thought he was kind of being funny and referencing that we got ourselves a Maverick, maybe.
Yeah, because the whole point is the guy's skill is greater than these constraints, right? Is the comfort, the acumen, the ability to do these things is not common among a guy that has one preseason pass attempt to his credit before that.
What'd you think of Daniels checking out of a bad play and then calling his own number on the deep shot for his second throw in the preseason? 800-636-1067. We should also get into how much we want to see him play against the Dolphins this weekend. We can do that next on G&D.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
No, ma'am. This is not a good idea. Sorry, Goose, but it's time to buzz the tower.
Spread it out on third down. Daniels pulls the trigger, looking for the deep ball down the sideline. And it's hauled in. Dyami Brown, great snag for the first down.
Thought of Top Gun. Do I have permission to buzz the tower? No, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. And so I think on that one, he wanted to ask for. and then throw, you know, an absolute dime, you know, over the top to Diami to go. So it was a really cool play. I think it probably illustrates for him the awareness and checks and things that go into it. So, yeah, he did not ask for permission, so he went ahead and buzzed the tower anyway. So it was a really cool play.
Big moment for Jaden Daniels. Where was Miles Teller at during the game, I have to wonder? We know where Tom Cruise was. He was getting ready to drop in via bungee cord at the Olympics. Did you see that last night?
Yes, I did.
What was that? I just saw the memes and the videos. By the way, great job, Darris, putting that all together.
Love
during
that.
The break. That was very good. What was that last night with Tom Cruise?
I don't know.
Did anybody watch that in the studio?
So I just saw the memes.
He watched it. I saw internet pics and videos.
Because he was at something. He was at one of the finals where they just cut to Tom Cruise in the stands.
Yeah, I'm sure they had him because he was going to be on the outro, on the closing ceremony. So they had him come to some events. They were paying all kinds of celebrities, it seemed like, to just sit there and be shown on the NBC broadcast. But basically, here's what I saw. He's standing at the top of the largest ledge ever, and he jumps off of said ledge, bungee corded, and he just drops into the arena. What was the point of that?
Nothing. You nailed it. I don't really know what the point of it was. Everyone on Twitter was joning about what the point of it was.
Was it an advertisement for an upcoming movie?
No, it wasn't. And then he tweeted out thereafter, like, now on to L.A., so maybe there's another project coming out soon.
Okay, so LA did do some things where they were like ushering in their Olympics.
Yeah, like
maybe
the next Olympics.
So was that one of the things they did where they paid him to do a stunt?
To do a stunt.
I guess that's possible.
Maybe.
I saw a company, I don't know if it was Paramount or whoever does some of his movies, came out and basically said, like, it was a video of him dropping in. And they're like, we want to thank the most influential man in movies in the last 30 years or whatever for... I don't even know what they had to do with it or why they did it. But there he was, dropping in via bungee cord.
Just Tom Cruising
like
it up.
Like he's Freddy the Falcon, the mascot who ties up to the top of the stadium and just drops into the 50-yard line.
He loves doing stunts, by the way.
Of course he does.
And he's good. Like he's done the one, there's a million of them, the one where he hung to the side of the plane. Like, oh, what do you mean? He hung to the outside of the plane when it took off?
So what was his best one? I still say his best stunt... was, I think it was the most recent
Mission Impossible.
Of the Mission Impossibles, where he goes off the cliff on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle.
And if you saw it like I did in IMAX or in any kind of big-time screening, you know, with the huge screens, it's one of the most breathtaking shots you'll ever see. Because the way they shoot it, I've seen it behind the scenes now, where the director is waiting with a walkie-talkie for someone down on the ground to say, parachute's out. Tom's fine. We got him down on the ground. He's fine. And the director like takes this sigh of relief, like, oh, thank God he didn't die. Every single time that because Tom Cruise didn't like it, or he's like, oh, we got to hold frame longer. Oh, I think we could go longer before I pull my parachute. That was literally his bit, by the way.
Yeah.
How long can I wait? How many motorcycles can we break that explode before I have to, you know, pull my parachute? And they did it like, I think it was 6 times. And each time the director, or whoever it was that I was seeing, would stand there and he'd go, wait for it. And they'd be like, parachute's out, and Tom is good. We got Tom on the ground. And he'd be like, oh, thank you.
Oh, thank God.
Sweet baby Jesus.
One guy's like, we didn't get it. The light was wrong.
But that shot.
Back to one.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Of course I do.
He just, imagine driving a motorcycle off of a cliff. Have you ever been about to do something? Like just jumping off of a ledge of something or off a diving board. And you get there and you get like, cold feet, and you slow down, and you, like, stop, and then you half fall off. This dude just goes 70 miles an hour off a cliff. Oh, my parachute works. 5 more times after that, he does it. That takes the cake for me.
So, there are a couple that to me, rival it. The outside the world's tallest building, not inside. Inside's a little scary. It can be a little wobbly because, you know, the wind blows. He's outside the world's tallest building, swinging by a fire hose, and then he lets go and flies into an open room. With the cracked window.
I remember that. Did they actually do that? No net?
They did.
Like, that's a chance of death situation?
Yes. So, Matt Damon tells a funny story of, he told this multiple times on television, but he told a story where he and Tom Cruise are at dinner, and he's like, I gotta ask you, Tom, like, how did you do that one stunt? So, Tom Cruise, this is Matt Damon talking, I go to the safety guy. Tell him what I want to do. Safety guy says, you can't do that. So, I gotta do safety guy. And that's how he ends up ultimately doing it, is they find someone who will allow him to do it. He breaks an ankle in one of the nondescript jumping across buildings, ho-hum.
I remember that. That was just base jumping, like he's doing parkour from one building to another.
Sprinting from one building and really doing it, actually, though. Again, over like hundreds of feet death if it doesn't go well. Breaks an ankle.
When he sprints, by the way, which everyone jones it in every movie, he's sprinting.
Yeah.
It's like he has muscles in his cheek that start flaring.
Well, even his Twitter account's been sprinting in movies since 1980, whatever. But then later in the movie, he actually does more than 100 Halo jumps with a broken ankle. Like, his ankle's broken. And he's like, well, we gotta keep shooting. So I gotta just do these Halo jumps for the shot.
Let's go to Aiden in Alexandria. What's up, Aiden?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? I just wanted to kind of hop in on your conversation about Tom Cruise. I think it's kind of a tradition for the closing ceremony to introduce the next Olympics. I think their way of bringing in one of the biggest movie stars out there is their way of saying the Olympics will be in Hollywood in 2028.
I get that.
I think that's what it is.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense then. Because I saw some L.A. flair to the whole thing where they ushered in Los Angeles. They did their own, kickoff. Like, the torch is now yours. Do with it whatever you want. Charles in Capitol Heights, what's up?
Dynamic duo, what's going on?
Hey, dude.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I was just saying it was his whole Mission Impossible thing. Because that was the same dirt bike he had when he jumped the cliff. And he loves the skydive when he did the skydive thing.
But there was no dirt bike last night, was there?
Yeah, no. When he put the flag on the back of the dirt bike.
See, I didn't watch it. I didn't see that. Okay.
So, yeah, it was his whole Mission Impossible thing.
Got it. Okay. I missed that part. Where was there a dirt bike, Clary? After he landed, did he get on the dirt bike?
So I saw him coming out with the flag, but I've never seen Mission Impossible, so I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
So.
All right. Mm. That makes it less clear.
Yeah.
Which Mission Impossible haven't you seen?
All of them. I know there's many of them. I'm sure they're probably really good. I just
What do you think goes on in Mission Impossible?
I'm assuming that they probably just solve impossible missions.
Yeah,
I had to take a guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good summary.
You did go see Top Gun Maverick.
I did see Top Gun Maverick. Yes.
You have not seen the old Top Gun.
I saw the first 20 minutes of it and then turned it off because it's just too old in my opinion. So
for sure,
it's
definitely too old.
Yeah, too old.
Ryan. Okay. Explains it all, ladies and gentlemen.
I know more than I did before.
Non-Jaden Daniels Commanders that showed well. We have not really talked about other guys on the squad. Let's go stock report next. Who's the arrow up on? Who's the arrow down on after preseason game one? We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
No, ma'am. This is not a good idea. Sorry, Goose, but it's time to bust the tower.
Spread it out on third down. Daniels pulls the trigger, looking for the deep ball down the sideline. And it's hauled in. Dyami Brown. Great snag for the first down.
Thought of Top Gun. Do I have permission to buzz the tower? No, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. And so I think on that one, he wanted to ask for. And then throw, an absolute dime, over the top to Dyami to go. So it was a really cool play. I think it probably illustrates for him the awareness and checks and things that go into it. So, he did not ask for permission. So he went ahead and buzzed the tower anyway. So it was a really cool play.
Big moment for Jaden Daniels. Where was Miles Teller at during the game? I have to wonder. We know where Tom Cruise was. He was getting ready to drop in via bungee cord at the Olympics. Did you see that last night?
Yes, I did.
What was that? I just saw the memes and the videos. By the way, great job, Darius, putting that all together the break. That was very good. What was that last night with Tom Cruise?
I don't know.
Did anybody watch that in the studio?
So I just saw the memes.
He watched it. Because I saw internet pics and videos.
Because he was at something. He was at one of the finals where they just cut to Tom Cruise in the stands.
Yeah, I'm sure they had him because he was going to be on the outro, on the closing ceremony. So they had him come to some events. They were paying all kinds of celebrities, it seemed like, to just sit there and be shown on the NBC broadcast. But basically, here's what I saw. He's standing at the top of the largest ledge ever, and he jumps off of said ledge, bungee corded, and he just drops into the arena. What was the point of that?
Nothing. You nailed it. I don't really know what the point of it was. Everyone on Twitter was joning about what the point of it was.
Was it an advertisement for an upcoming movie?
No, it wasn't. And then he tweeted out thereafter, like, now on to L.A. So maybe there's another project coming out soon.
Okay, so L.A. did do some things where they were, like, ushering in their Olympics.
Yeah, like maybe the next Olympics.
So was that one of the things they did where they paid him to do a stunt?
To do a stunt.
I guess that's possible.
Maybe.
I saw a company, I don't know if it was Paramount or whoever does some of his movies, came out and basically said, like, it was a video of him dropping in. And they're like, we want to thank the most influential man in movies in the last 30 years or whatever for, I don't even know what they had to do with it or why they did it. But there he was, dropping in via bungee cord.
Just Tom Cruising
like
it
up. He's Freddy the Falcon, the mascot who ties up to the top of the stadium and just drops into the 50-yard line.
He loves doing stunts, by the way.
Of course he does.
And he's good. Like, he's done the one, there's a million of them, the one where he hung to the side of the plane. Like, oh, what do you mean? He hung to the outside of the plane when it took off?
So what was his best one? I still say his best stunt was, I think it was the most recent
Mission Impossible.
The Mission Impossibles, where he goes off the cliff on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle.
And if you saw it like I did in IMAX or in any kind of big time screening, you know, with the huge screens, it's one of the most breathtaking shots you'll ever see. Because the way they shoot it, I've seen a behind the scenes now where the director is waiting with a walkie-talkie for someone down on the ground to say, parachute's out, Tom's fine, we got him down on the ground, he's fine. And the director like takes this sigh of relief like, oh, thank God he didn't die. Every single time that because Tom Cruise didn't like it, or he's like, oh, we got to hold frame longer. Oh, I think we could go longer before I pull my parachute. That was literally his bit, by the way.
Yeah.
How long can I wait? How many motorcycles can we break that explode before I have to, you know, pull my parachute? And they did it, like, I think it was 6 times. And each time the director, or whoever it was that I was seeing, would stand there and he'd go, wait for it. And they'd be like, parachute's out, and Tom is good. We got Tom on the ground. And he'd be like, oh, thank you.
Oh, thank God.
Sweet baby Jesus.
One guy's like, we didn't get it. The light was wrong.
But that shot.
Back to one.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Of course I do.
He just, imagine driving a motorcycle off of a cliff. Have you ever been about to do something? Like just jumping off of a ledge of something or off a diving board. And you get there and you get like cold feet and you slow down and you like stop and then you half fall off. This dude just goes 70 miles an hour off a cliff. Oh, my parachute works. 5 more times after that he does it. That takes the cake for me.
So there are a couple that to me rival it. The outside the world's tallest building. Not inside. Inside's a little scary. It can be a little wobbly because, you know, the wind blows. He's outside the world's tallest building, swinging by a fire hose, and then he lets go and flies into an open room with a cracked window.
I remember that. Did they actually do that? No net?
They did.
Like, that's a chance of death situation?
Yes. So Matt Damon tells a funny story of, he told this multiple times on television, but he told a story where he and Tom Cruise are at dinner. And he's like, I got to ask you, Tom, like, how did you do that one stunt? So Tom Cruise, this is Matt Damon talking, I go to the safety guy. Tell him what I want to do. Safety guy says, you can't do that. So I got to do safety guy. And that's how he ends up ultimately doing it, is they find someone who will allow him to do it. He breaks an ankle in one of the nondescript jumping across buildings, ho-hum.
I remember like, that. That was just base jumping. Like he's doing parkour from one building to another.
Sprinting from one building and like really doing it, actually, though. Again, over like hundreds of feet death if it doesn't go well. Breaks an ankle.
When he sprints, by the way, which everyone jones it in every movie, he's sprinting.
Yeah.
It's like he has muscles in his cheek that start flaring.
Well, even his like Twitter account's like been sprinting in movies since 1980, whatever. But then later in the movie, he actually does more than 100 halo jumps with a broken ankle. Like his ankle's broken. And he's like, well, we gotta keep shooting. So I gotta just do these halo jumps for the shot.
Let's go to Aiden in Alexandria. What's up, Aiden?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? I just wanted to kind of hop in on your conversation about Tom Cruise. I think it's kind of a tradition for the closing ceremony to introduce the next Olympics. I think their way of bringing in one of the biggest movie stars out there is their way of saying the Olympics will be in Hollywood in 2028.
I get that.
I think that's what it is.
That makes a lot of sense then. Because I saw some L.A. flair to the whole thing where they ushered in Los Angeles. They did their own like kickoff. Like, the torch is now yours. Do with it whatever you want. Charles in Capitol Heights. What's up?
Dynamic duo, what's going on?
Hey, dude.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I was just saying it was his whole Mission Impossible thing, because that was the same dirt bike he had when he jumped the cliff, and he loves the skydive when he did the skydive thing.
But there was no dirt bike last night, was there?
Yeah, no. When he put the flag on the back of the dirt bike.
See, I didn't watch it. I didn't see that. Okay.
So yeah, it was his whole Mission Impossible thing.
Got it. Okay. I missed that part. Where was there a dirt bike, Clary? After he landed, did he get on the dirt bike?
So I saw him coming out with like the flag, but I've never seen Mission Impossible, so I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
So.
All right. That makes it less clear.
Yeah.
Which Mission Impossible haven't you seen?
All of them. I know there's many of them. I'm sure they're probably really good. I just
What do you think goes on in Mission Impossible?
I'm assuming that they probably just solve impossible missions.
Yeah,
I had to take a guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good summary.
You did go see Top Gun Maverick.
I did see Top Gun Maverick. Yes.
You have not seen the old Top Gun.
I saw like the first 20 minutes of it and then turned it off because like it's just too old, in my opinion. So
for sure,
it's
definitely too old.
Yeah, too old.
Ryan explains it all, ladies and gentlemen.
I know more than I did before.
Non-Jaden Daniels Commanders that showed well. We have not really talked about other guys on the squad. Let's go stock report next. Who's the arrow up on? Who's the arrow down on after preseason game one? We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.